In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
But this little dink ball, no one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground, and it bounces into a fella's chest.
Why do you not do many interviews?
Oh, really? Yeah, I might be asked to do a whole pile.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
And they're roaring at me, "Hey, Coffrey, you free state bastard." And next thing I hear, "You have no fucking jurisdiction up here."
So we have two huge provincial finals this weekend, lads. It's the big one in Connacht. It's Mayo versus Galway. Like, it doesn't get any bigger. And then you have Kerry versus Cork down in Munster in Killarney. Like, I don't know. I'm looking around the different websites and newspapers and it just feels like there's nothing going on this weekend, Johnny. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know. I think that definitely we're missing a trick regarding promotion. I don't think Mayo did any media. I think Galway did something, but it seemed to be just in local newspapers. I don't see anything in the national media. I see Peter Keane was put up from Kerry, which probably is a waste of a lot of people's time. And then I think Cork, in fairness, put up one manager and three players. I've only seen one player so far. Maybe the other two were for Sunday papers or something. I don't know. I just feel that, and I've always said this, the build-up to some of these big games just doesn't feel like they're big games.
Yeah, and I suppose you're looking at it from well, certainly from my point of view, you're looking at supporters and you want to get an insight, you want to see what's happening, you want to, you know, who's maybe going well, or a little bit of insight into what's going on. But then when you put your player's hat on, you're thinking, you know, the curse of the Sunday paper, you know.
Oh, yeah.
We've all heard about that one, and you know, I've done a couple of them in my time, and I talked a better game the week before than I did on the week after. But I certainly think there is, you're right, and it's a bit like showing all the games. I used to be a big critic of, why don't we show all these games? Because, you know, we have to sell the game. And certainly, you know, I suppose both provincial finals are traditional. The traditionalists will love them, you know, Cork, Kerry and Galway Mayo. But yeah, there seems to be a little feel of, I don't know whether it's just the time we're in, I don't know, but you don't get that buzz maybe we did coming into the provincial semi-finals in the north during the week. You know, there was big talk of Armagh and Monaghan and stuff like that. So yeah, it's a slow build up, or, you know, maybe there's an air of inevitability. I don't know.
What's the build up like in Cork, Paul? Like, I mean, is this, you know, are people looking forward to this, or are you a little bit worried about it?
They're probably more worried than anything, but like Johnny's right, like, just the first game I always looked forward to as a Cork player, like the Cork Kerry one, and you know, they're probably talking down the provincial championships in the last couple of weeks, and geez, they should be doing their best to build them up, like, you know, like to try promote it and get lads watching. Like, I suppose there isn't too many tickets for the Cork Kerry game, even though Clarny will probably be thronged, but like, I just think people are probably worried about in Cork, but they should be definitely sending players out. Do you know what I mean? Even, you know, like, they're the heroes, and like, like the likes of Clifford, Sean O'Shea, Powter from Cork, they're superstars, like, for young lads going out, and
yeah,
people want to see what they're about, like, you know. So I think teams should do a bit more to maybe put these lads out there before the big games.
Powter was one of the players I saw, definitely a good interview. We'll get on to some of his quotes in part two, because he definitely speaks fairly honestly coming up. It's an unusual one to have the Connacht final in Croke Park, Johnny. Like, I mean, like, I'm looking forward to it. We'll get into who it'll suit. It'll probably suit Mayo. But then I was thinking, like, you know, how lucky we were playing in Leinster, Johnny. Like, I mean, I've played in Croke Park more times than I can actually remember. I was trying to count them up. I played in it five times before I'd left even minor. Never mind that you'd almost take it for granted. And then you have the likes of Mayo, Connacht having to win provincial just to get maybe one game in the year there.
Yeah, we really were lucky, and I was a bit like yourself, trying to think how many times, and I'd say I've played there more times than any yeah. pitch. And it's like you do when you hear it, particularly on Kildare, you know, Croke Park, it's eerie, it's this, it's that. From a player, it's the place you wanted to play. You know, it was, and obviously the bigger the occasion, the better. You know, lucky enough to play in Leinster finals and All-Ireland semi-finals and things like that. So it was the place to be. I always wanted to play, but I was delighted to get an opportunity. You know, we would have played played Donegal in a league game one time. Sort of
fair. But we played Leinster quarter-finals and all
absolutely,
sorts there as
yeah.
double headers.
Yeah, and it was great. I say from a playing point of view, and particularly now, I was up there last Sunday, like, it's Jenny Mack, if you can't play in Croke Park, it's just immaculate. It's so big, there's not a blade of grass out of sink there, and it's just I'd play there every day. But we were, you're right, we're very lucky. You know, I remember the first time I would have played it, and it was sort of the old Croke Park when I played there first, and you know, it was just, you felt that from a young lad coming on, that, you know, I've arrived here, I'm playing in Croke Park. You know, it was massive thing, and
yeah.
You know, obviously we were the lucky ones.
We were looking like 5 years out of minor, Paul. At the start of your career, you would have played there a good bit, and then it probably dried up.
Yeah, like the first time I was there would have been 2003, I'd say. It would have been the first year of minor. We lost to Dublin, the All-Ireland semi. I didn't play there again for another 5 years until the All-Ireland club final about 2008, you know.
Yeah.
The two of them didn't go too well, but like, lucky enough, after that, we were playing there two, three, four times every year with Cork. And then, as you said, it dried up towards the end, but like, we used to love going up there. You know, you'd been nearly hoping to get Dublin away in the league, like, you know, just to go up and play there an extra game, you know. It's the place where everyone wants to play, you know, and the journey's nothing from Cork, so people love going up there to play.
What was your record like there, Johnny? I have to say, like, and I, you know, I'm very honest about my career, I generally played well in Croke Park. Like, I mean, I've had one of the worst experiences ever in Croke Park, All-Ireland quarter-final. I was brought on against Armagh the year I got injured. And it was brought off in the same game in front of, like, must have been 70,000 people. That's the most horrific experience I had there. I came on, it was marking Andy Mallon, and he kept running forward, and I wasn't fit. And he just, I feel sorry now. Maybe that's what I have against attacking cornerbacks because of Andy Mallon's experience. But in general, I played well there. I just loved the experience of it. I don't know, the pitch suited me. I don't know what it was, but generally, I did all right there.
Yeah, well, look, from a record point of view, I'd say I had more bad days than good days in it, particularly on the big occasions. Like,
a team point of view or from your own point of view?
Yeah, well, I suppose it was a couple of days you'd want to forget from a personal point of view. I remember we played in 2005, we played played Westmeath. Westmeath were Leinster Championship, and it was one of those games, Colm, everywhere I went, the ball fell into my hands, and, you know, just one of those good days, and I thought it was cock of the hoop. I was named player of the month and everything. I thought, you know, I've arrived, and then we went to play Laois in the semi-final, and I had Adrian Fenley for company, and he never gave me a kick of it, so I was brought back down to earth fairly quick. But listen, a lot of big games, lost two semi-finals there, you know, lost three Leinster finals there, so in general, you know, I loved playing there. I loved getting up for the big game, you know. People often say, oh, kick and freeze into the hill with a packed hill. I loved that. I loved the challenge of it. But as I say, from a team point of view, we normally went home with tears in our eyes. And unfortunately, you know, Paul mightn't have been there too often, but he was there for the big one to bring home an All-Ireland for Cork and 10. So he went for quality rather than quantity.
Well, that's it. Yeah, my experience is probably similar to that, all right. At least Paul might have played there less, but actually won something. What was your routine like coming up from Cork? Because, you know, coming from Laois, we'd warm up somewhere, maybe St. Vincent's or something, and then, you know, you do a bit of a light kick around there. Would you do that, Paul, or would you just go straight to Croke Park?
Yeah, no, we used to always come up on the Saturday. Back in when I started, we used to get the train, and that was still going, and then it was the bus. But or my first manager, Conor Coonan, he wanted to keep us well away from Croke Park. So we used to be in fairly plush facilities. We used to be out in Killiney in Fitzpatrick's, and it was an unbelievable spot. You know, they had no interest in football out there, and it was fairly luxurious. And I think he wanted us to spin into Croke Park as well on the match day. We used to do a bit of kicking all right today before, but geez, I used to try to do as less as possible. I used to hate that, just try to rest up. But we used to always go the day before, and especially under Conor Coonan, we used to stay out there for a couple of years, and then the new managers kind of took us into the Burlington and around the city and stuff like that. But up the day before on the bus, you know, you'd be going up around mid-morning and kind of have your grub that evening, bit of kick around during the day.
Right, okay, so in Killiney, no one's going to be bothering you, asking you about the match on the main street when you're going to get your coffee. Where you had the warm-up too? I don't know, was it tradition for Kildare to have a warm-up somewhere? You'd go straight to Croke Park?
We always went straight to Croke Park. We used to, depending on, obviously, with Mico, we used to meet at Johnstown there on the Nate Road, and we normally, you know, depending on how big the game was, the crowds were there, we'd get a guard escort in, and we'd be straight in, and it was great. Like, I always, you know, I think with one occasion under Kieran, we set out in the Marriott out in Johnstown the night before, which was only happened to once, and I always preferred, you know, to stay in my own bed.
That was a stupid idea anyways.
And the result didn't, we blamed it for when things didn't go well, but so we were lucky, sure, it's only been up the road for us.
Yeah, exactly. But like, I mean, the dressing rooms in Croke Park, when you go into the dressing room, like, I mean, would you go into to explain to anybody listening, you'd usually, the routine would be at landing Croke Park, you'd watch the first half of the match before you, and then at half time you'd be shepherded in, and you come in and you might watch the second half, and there'd be a television in the room or whatever, and then there's a warm up room, and then the physio room is off it again. There are grand big luxurious dressing rooms. I don't know, I like to sit down and read the programme for a little while. Paul, what did you do? Did you go in, you see other fellas and they're in the warm up and they're kicking a ball against the wall and they're in the zone and you're like, relax.
I used to go out and watch the game always. I used to love watching the minors if they were playing before us, just see how the young lads were getting on. And I used to always try to get a corner in Croke Park. There was a little bit of extra space in one of the dressing rooms there, so that's what I'd go for. And then you'd see the young lads, the fridges used to be stocked inside Croke Park. They'd be stealing all the Powerade and throwing them into their bag and stuff like that. Like, so. But yeah, I used to, and then just go in for a small bit of a kick, nothing major. But that warm up area was handy now, like they're in the new park in Cueve now, and it's nice for fellas probably to get the eye in before the game. But geez, wouldn't be going too mad, save the energy, to be plenty running to come.
Yeah, you have little mini, you have ones of them in Porky Cueve. Porky Cueve is near like a mini Croke Park now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is fairly class now, you know. And when you come out and you look up and you see the roof of the upper deck, I always just loved that, coming out of Croke Park. You know, when you run out the tunnel, you could see the roof, it just seemed massive. And in one of the stands now, it's like that in Park and Cueve. So, geez, a great place for young lads to grow up and play now in Cork.
Yeah, no, definitely. Come here is a question. When Mico was over you lads in Kildare, did Micheál Amirahurty come into the dressing room before every single game?
Yeah, every game.
Every
he'd come
game.
In and he didn't say a whole lot. He'd probably pull Glenn to one side and have a word, and he smiles and, you know, just wish you luck. And I suppose that was part of the ritual. But I know him.
Was that him knowing Mico, or was that?
I think it was. Well, I don't remember him sort of post Mico coming in too much.
Right.
But certainly with when Mico was there. But then himself and Mico would have been allies. You know, he would have trained the Kerry boys in the '70s and '80s here in the Dublin based lads. He would have done a bit of training, so I'm sure that was the case. But he always came in and had a, you know, wished us well. And no, I'm sure he went into the dressing room next door and wished them well. I don't know. We wanted to win more.
Was he in the Cork dressing room ever?
He came into our dressing room. He was coming to gloat after he beat us, really. He's never been before. But
he'd come in,
cute enough.
He'd come in after a match to your dressing room, would he?
I saw him knock around once or twice, all right, yeah. He'd be floating around all the time, like, but he wouldn't be coming in to wish us luck anyway.
Yeah, I remember him always in the dressing room, yeah. Come here, James O'Donoghue's dropped himself off the panel, Johnny, which is like, you know, I just feel sorry for him, right? Because you have all these different players who are clearly brilliant players and just get riddled by injury. And it's not just one injury, it's down when another one and another one and another one. And the poor fella hasn't been able to get a clear run of it. So I'd say just in his own head, he's had enough and he wants to go back to the club. And I think he played for Killarney Legion last weekend and only played the opening half. Now, fingers crossed that was only that they were looking after him rather than something happened. But, you know, he's a huge loss to Kerry. maybe not in the last 2 years because we haven't seen him all that much. But at the same time, it's sad to see him having to. He's not far off retiring here, really, is he?
Yeah, I suppose he never, you know, he reached the heights that he did when he came on. But he burst onto the scene, really. And look at in full flight, he was a fantastic player. Was it 14 or 15 he won Footballer of the Year?
14, yeah.
Yeah, so like he was a really exciting player and was a real plus of that Kerry setup. And it's maybe if it is the injury that sort of, you know, and a lot of it is trying to get the head right. You know, there's such, look at it, I don't buy into the whole, this is tough, the inter-county scene, you know, I loved every minute of it. You know, when you're there, you're in that bubble. But maybe, you know, if he felt that he'd nothing to contribute anymore, he was struggling maybe with his fitness and then it can be a tough place when you're in that headspace. And it is, I think you're right. I think it's a little bit sad to see him maybe dwindle off in the fashion because his body couldn't withstand it. It's tough because he was a fantastic player, you know, and probably didn't get to see the best of him for over a long period.
The reason he was so exciting is he just goes at his man every time, Paul. Like, I mean, he's just like, you know, he only knows kind of one way, and that's forward, and defenders just haven't seen him just taking him on with massive pace. I think it was 2014, I was down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. You won't want to remember this too much. You were favourites going into that game. I remember Kieran Donnelly, he was on the bench, he scored 8 points from play that day, 10 in total, and that kick-started his whole season that year.
Yeah, like I actually remember him in 2012 as well. We beat him in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, but he came on at half time, we were always 3 or 4 points ahead, and he was just a thorn in our side, like a young fella. He just, like that, kept taking the man on, could kick the ball left and right, he kind of strike the ball rather than curl it, and he was just always asking questions. And then obviously 2014, like, it was his coming out kind of game, really. Like, he destroyed us. Yeah. I think he had 10 points in total. And, at the time, like, our club manager would have been Stephen O'Brien, who would have played the 80s and 90s with Cork. He was obsessed with him. Like, he was saying, James Dunhill makes 8 runs before he gets the ball. He stays inside the 45. And he'd be put right pressure on us in the club to move like him. But he's kind of a fellow you think he's only in his mid-20s, but he's 31, like, and he's had a lot of injuries. And as I said, like, he's just, since then, he hasn't really kicked on, like, to be the player we thought he would be. Like, it was obviously good from a Cork point of view, but from a GA point of view, fan point of view, it wasn't great to see. He obviously had loads of injuries. Like, and we actually played him in the club last year, and he looked sharp. I thought he'd have a big say this year, but unfortunately, look, there's massive competition there too, and it just probably didn't work out for him.
It was at the start of last season, I think, he played the game in Croke Park under lights and scored 3 brilliant points in the first half, and then they took him off to remind, or maybe he got injured that day. I think that was the last probable game. But that year in 2014, he scored 8 from play, 10 in total against Cork. Then he got 1-5 against Galway in the quarter final. I remember that. 1-3 then in the drawn against Mayo, and 2-6 in the replay in Limerick. Him and Donaghy destroyed Mayo that day, and then he didn't score at all in the final. Neil McGee followed him everywhere, I remember. But he won Player of the Year that year. So, like, I mean, it's pretty sad to see him having to drop off because of injuries. But, like, I mean, I suppose that's it. I always say, Johnny, what's the most important thing for a player? Staying injury free, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I mean, you know, I'd take being less fast or less skillful and get a clear run of things. There's nothing worse. Like, I mean, I've my hamstrings messed up my career. Like, obviously my personality messed it up as well, but my hamstrings messed it up on the other side.
And I didn't like to say that.
I'll say it before you say it, Johnny. But that's it. Just stay injury free. You were lucky in that regard too.
I was steeped. Like, you were talking about hamstrings. I never pulled a hamstring in my life. You know, I was just steeped. But the thing, you know, when you do get it, it's so frustrating because it does, you know, even a niggle, the one thing I always felt in my own head was that if I was fit, you know, eventually you'd outrun your man or you'd get a break. But if you're going into a game and you're struggling and you maybe haven't done the work, there's doubts in your head. And that's, for me, that was always the biggest part. And then if it's a reoccurrence of an injury, as I say, I didn't have to go through any of that, but a reoccurrence of an injury, you're just not sure, you're maybe afraid to put the boot down just because, you know, the last time you did, there's a bit of a pull there or whatever the case may be. So, you know, and even with so much, you know, from a medical point of view now, they've every box ticked, but the body just needs time to heal. And you know, with the pace of the game now, with, you know, the conditioning of that's involved in county teams, it does put the body under strain. And if there's any ailments there, it comes to the fore. And yeah, I agree with you. You know, if you can stay fit, you have a chance. You know, even in your own head, you have a chance.
We were talking about GPSs, Paul, on the hurling show, and Conal Keeney was saying that in the Dublin setup, the medical, or the what would you call them, the guys running the GPSs and the stats and the sprints and the kilometres covered had way too much say in a setup. They were making presentations, they were telling you what other teams were doing, they were, you know, feeding down information that you've slowed down during a game, they're doing all these things. And he said that it takes a very strong manager to say, hang on a second, Paul Carrigan, Johnny Doyle is playing well. I don't care that they've slowed down a little bit. I know what they can do. Have you? It just popped into my head. Did you notice that? Because me and Johnny are out of the game longer than you. You were there till last year. Did you see these lads having more and more influence over what managers kind of decide?
More so in training rather than the games. Right. I'm not sure now, like, where fellas pulled off, but definitely, like, you'd see guys missing training or guys easing back and guys only to do a certain amount of kilometres in a week coming up to a game and that, like, you know, and, like... I didn't see any decision making for games, but I don't know. So I think there's some bit obsessed with it. Like, even some of the young lads now checking the laptop for their data would be the first thing they'd look at after training. Whereas,
right.
Like, Jesus, I used to even not wear it if I could, like, going out. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
For embarrassment. So say,
say for example on the Tuesday night. So I remember just when I finished around 11 or 12, all your stats would be up there: balls given away, yeah. Possession stuff. You also have your kilometres covered and stuff, I presume, all there for players to check out. But can players not easily manipulate the kilometres covered? Like, for example, you can run around like a headless chicken and have good. Like, would a manager look, hold a lad up, say he ran 14 kilometres? This is what we want, and this lad could be running around like a headless chicken.
Yeah, like, they would be pushing fellas for kilometres, let's say, for certain positions, and they do have the data to other teams. Like, so I always remember the fitness test, look, you know, looking at the fitness test, oh, you're right up there with Dublin or Kerry and so on. Like, they could be only bullshit, you know, maybe to make you feel good about yourself. But you're right, like, fellas could be just getting up and down to get the kilometres into the legs, you know. But it's all relative, I think, anyway, to your position and how you contribute in the game, like, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
I think a lot of, now, and I'm like yourself, Colm, I haven't had much experience with it, but I think for me the real benefit is that, you know, you're dealing with facts. So if I'm going to you and saying, listen, you know, you played against Kildare 2 weeks ago and you played really well, and you didn't play well this week, but your work rate was down, and here's the facts to back it up.
Yeah.
Rather than saying,
yeah,
well, you know, so I think there is a place in it for them. I would be, certainly wouldn't be, you know, hanging my coat on them either, because as you're right, some lads can be running around and doing nothing, and, you know, you can have lads working hard and not working smart. So I certainly see a benefit in them, but as I say, I wouldn't be all for, or you know, coming in and telling, oh, you should take off Colin Parkinson because he's covered this, and you're saying, well, he's kicked 3 points, or he's keeping that lad, you know, whatever the case would be, he's a job to do. So,
yeah.
But I think most managers are fairly, you would imagine, at that level would be strong enough to see the benefits of the information they're getting and being able to use it appropriately.
The one that always jumps into my mind is Colin Boyle coming off for Mayo. Do you remember in the couple of All-Irelands or in semi-finals, it always seemed that he was off after 50 minutes, Paul, no matter how well he was playing. He could make a brilliant dive and block, and suddenly then he's coming off to the line and everyone's scratching their heads. And then you're thinking, is that real time? You know, is he slowing down, or why are they doing that? Or, like, I would be the same as Johnny. Like, I mean, I'd only go looking for these stats to back up my own opinion. And if they went against my opinion, I'd be a little bit confused. But, like, I mean, in general, you'd be hoping that if you see a lad not playing that well, you would, you know, you would want to use those stats to go, look, will you start, you slowed down. I know, you know, only to back up maybe if he came questioning you as to why he was taken off.
Yeah, I remember when Colin Boyle's coming off, I was thinking, how, like, because some of the intangible stuff, like his communication, his leadership, you know, for his teammates, like, even though he might be slowing down a bit, there's surely another 10 minutes in him. Towards the end of my career, anyway, it was very much like, maybe you weren't going to last the 70, 75 minutes, so they might be looking at you for the 20, 25 minutes at the end when it's the most important part of the game, you know, and they might look at it like that. But, yeah, I suppose it is... As Johnny said, like, I wouldn't be hanging my hat in it, but look, it is important. I suppose the big thing is, you mentioned powder earlier, it's about getting all your fellas on the field and probably that's where the data for training is more important for it than maybe in real time games.
Yeah, no, exactly. Come here, I want to ask you, Johnny, about, we'll ask the two of you about Geezer, Kieran McGeaney. I have a fairly good idea what you're going to say. He's seven years...
I'm like Peter Keane.
He's 7 years over them now. You know, like, I mean, they got up to Division One. They haven't got to an Ulster final in the 7 years. Now, to be fair, the team he had 7 years ago is a lot different to the team. It feels like he has a bit of a new team now. You know, Geezer was asked after the game. He says, I always want to be about Armagh. It's in my blood, no matter where I go. It's been part of who I am for my whole life. There's more of us. There's a lot more in us. But whether it's me or somebody else, they're a good bunch. They're going places. So I think he's indicated he wants to stay on. I think he has. He says he has the backing of the players and the county board. So, and I know he's Johnny Doyle's backing as well. So.
Yeah, look, I suppose I think the big thing there is, well, there's a couple of facets in that. I think one, has he the appetite to go, and does he think it, Kieran is a big thinker of the game, a very deep thinker of the game.
Does he overthink things?
Sometimes I would agree with you. I think he might overthink things. I know we would have, you know, particularly when he left Kildare, we would have looked back at different things, and you know, I would have felt he would have maybe thought too much about things. But the big thing for me is that the players want them, and the county board want them. And if you have a group, you know, you'll always have the dogs in the street, and you know, having a pop and saying, look, at 7 years, hasn't won anything. But you have a group that within, and they're the decision makers, and they see a pathway for improvement and where they want to go. Because if you have any of those three not lining up, I think you're in trouble. You can have a good manager and the players want him, but the county board are, you know, maybe split. It's very, very difficult. And you look at all the successful teams, while they might not always agree, you would have the county board, you know, pushing hard for the county team to win and making maybe decisions outside of that, that helps the county to be successful. And I would have seen down the years, and I'm sure there was times, without being critical of the county board, but I didn't know whether that they wanted Kildare to win another as much as we wanted it at times. And I'm sure that's the same in you know, a lot of counties. And by doing that, there's probably hard decisions to be made, whether it's around fixtures, sponsorship, you know, different things that they mightn't see important to bring the team forward. And I think Kieran seems to have that in Armagh. Like, there's probably a lot of players out there that played with him that might want a shot at it. After 7 years, they'd probably think, you know, it's time for him to move on.
There's a lot of candidates in that
Absolutely.
County. Because, like, I mean, when you look at the different pundits, you have the McEntees, you have Oisín McConville, you know, you have the Kernans. Like, there's a lot. Even off that All-Ireland winning team, you have Aidan O'Rourke. There's a lot of lads, and some of them have been in with Geezer. I don't know, like, when he won three Ulster Championship matches in 7 years. Now, I know that's been improving the last year or two. So I think maybe they've stuck with him through the 5 years. I think in the first 5 years, I would be on the line, Jesus,
yeah,
can't keep going like this. You know, they were down in Division 3. I'd probably be on the line to give him another year. But if they don't get to an Ulster final next year, you know, you might be thinking it's time to give someone else
a chance. Yeah, and I know for a fact that he's probably thinking the same. Maybe, have I brought these as far as I can? You know, these are conversations we're having here now that we're had in Kildare after 6 years, and we decided that it's time for him to go. Because
well, the clubs voted him out, didn't they?
Clubs voted
him out. By one vote, was it?
One vote, yeah. And it was... Anyway, we won't get into that too much because...
But did he not piss the clubs off because he shut down all club football in Kildare, wasn't that part of that?
There was perception and facts, and that's where, you know, if we GPS for some of the factual information, you know, we had... There was a group... There was times, Colin, where players were released, and for whatever reason, maybe lads not... maybe carrying Knox and didn't play with their clubs. Okay, I would have always been one that wanted to play. Maybe going through a bit of bad form. Any chance I got to play with Alan Wood, I wanted to play. Now you're dealing with 32 individuals that obviously not going to align. But if a lad didn't play, if I decided, oh, look, I could really do without this match.
Just minding yourself.
I'm minding myself. Big match coming. And you said, come in and say, listen, I'm not fit to play. Oh, it was Kieran McGeaney doesn't want. He said he could play, but he didn't want him playing.
Right.
You know, so, and that, a good bit of that happened in Kildare. But I think that the big thing at the end of Kieran's time was, you know, didn't win a Division 2. I would have felt that we were making progress. We had, at the end of it, it was 13 he left. there was an under 21 team of the Paul Cribbins and Daniel Flynn's, and you know, all these guys that had been successful, and you felt that if he got his hands on them. I remember when it was finished, a very astute Kildare man said, this will set Kildare back 20 years, letting geezer go. You know, that was it. And we probably haven't reached, well, there's no probably, we haven't reached the heights again.
Yeah.
But again, that's, listen, it's opinion. We'd nothing really to show, and that probably doesn't sit well with me, the fact that he won nothing. I would say we won nothing, you know, but we competed. And
he did compete. He definitely, I think he did a very good job with Kildare. Mm. I think he did a much better record with Kildare than he has so far with Armagh. What's your take on it, Paul? Like, he'd 6 years with Kildare. He made Leinster finals. He made All-Ireland semi-final. Could have been an All-Ireland final. Like, he's nowhere near that level with Armagh. He'd one good run in the qualifiers and got destroyed by Tyrone in the All-Ireland quarter-final. They beat Fermanagh, Westmeath, Tipperary, Kildare before getting hammered by Tyrone. Like, that's his best year with them.
Yeah, it is a strange one. Like, it's probably taken him 6 or 7 years to get to here, where it probably took him only 2 or 3 to get where he wanted to be with Kildare, you know. Even now, are they in top 3 teams in Ulster? They're probably not, do you know what I mean? So, like, it's a bit of a tough one. I think he'll stay on. I think it's important that if the players want him, like, if you get buy-in there, that's half the battle, and the county board want him. I'd agree with Johnny, like, sometimes you get off the bus, the county board officers go one way, the team go the other way. Like, what you want is everyone going in the one direction. You know, probably would have seen that ourselves in Cork. So, like, if they want him, and their perception is that he's doing a good job, I think he'll stay. But it's a strange one, because it's taken him a long time to maybe stay in Division 1, get an Ulster Championship win. And, like, look, he has some good players coming. I think the O'Neills will be top-class players. Blaine Hughes and goal, Gerry O'Byrne, they're all good players. But I think he's under a bit of pressure, all right, next year to get to an Ulster final and possibly have to win an Ulster final. But there's other teams like Monaghan are fresh now, and Derry are coming as well. So he'll find it tough.
That's the thing. And just to, before we finish up on it, like, the chance to get to an Ulster final against Cavan 2 years ago in a replay, and they didn't get over the line. They had a great chance to get to it against Monaghan this year, and they didn't get over the line. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, and I suppose, like, when you look at the game at the weekend, like, you know, is it Kieran McGeaney's fault that the goalkeeper, you know, we talked about on this show, like, you know, what was he trying to do? Next thing, the ball ends up in the back of net. You know,
he did that off his bad foot. That was he did that with his left foot.
I know. I was, when it happened, I was saying, I'd say Colin Parkinson is, I'd say he's going mental.
I didn't notice it, because Sky miss all the kickouts. That's something that's driving me mad on both Sky and RT, the show a replay. A lot of kickouts are being missed now.
Yeah.
So the play is just resuming by the time you're actually watching the game.
Yeah, and you, sometimes the likes of that, like, all of a sudden then you're thinking, how's this after happening, you know? But
yeah.
I suppose, and that's the, you know, do we read too much? I suppose your manager is there, you know, what's his job? He's probably there to get the best out of the group he has. And, like, I sometimes feel we're very reactive in the, you know, well, we lost that, so, you know, we're using the results
it's bad.
Exactly.
If you win by a point, it's going great.
Yeah, like, we would have, you know, there'd be a lot of criticism over Kildare 20s this year, you know, Westmeath beat them and all, you know, and I'm thinking, we won an All-Ireland, what, in 18, we're beaten in the first round. Do you know what I mean? So, like, everyone has a different way of viewing the same thing, and so I wouldn't be as critical over the result. You know, when you put them down on paper, as you said, 3 Ulsters in 7 years, it's a poor return for the players.
3 Ulster wins,
sorry,
no, not Ulsters.
Sorry, 3 Ulster wins, yes, apologies. You know, that's you can't get it. There's factual information. You can't get away from that. But certainly, I think, and the other side of it is, like, you can say, get rid, and you rightly point out in Armagh, you would think that they have good candidates to come in, but, you know, maybe they won't be. You have to make sure, you know, the next person coming is going to take up the mantle and bring it to the next level, not set it back to bring it on again. So, you know, it's a tough one.
It's definitely a tough one. We'll give them one more year, I think.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back and we'll have a look at the 2 matches. All right, so we're going to start with Kerry and Cork in Fitzgerald Stadium. It's at 4 o'clock on Sunday. It's on RTE. I'm going to start with you, Paul, and a quote from Sean Powter. which is a great quote. I fully believe we're going to beat them. We've beaten them all the way up, under 21, and we beat them last year. That's the kind of fight and talk that you want before heading down to Clare.
Yeah, that's the kind of fight and talk they'll need, hopefully. Like, and in fairness to Powder, he's backed it up every time he's played. You know, he hasn't played too many games due to injury, but he's been our best player nearly every time he's played. And you know, he's a leader. You know, he might be small in stature, but he's a great bit of stuff, really. Like, look, they'll be under pressure. I suppose I was reading quotes as well from Ronan McCarthy. He said kind of could be a cagey game. And from Luke Connolly, who said you don't want to get into a shootout with Sean O'Shea and David Clifford. And if Luke Connolly's saying that, there might be an indication of that it could be they could maybe have numbers back and try maybe keep Kerry from scoring. But look, our biggest thing is I think you have to score to beat Kerry. We've only got 13 scores the last times we played them. And we beat them last time, we got 112. And the year before, we got 310. We lost by 3 points. But look, we're going to have to score that little bit more, I think, than what we have been doing in the league and maybe against Limerick.
Well, that's the important thing. You need to score goals, I suppose, Paul. I mean, it's interesting that Luke Connolly said that, because Sean Powder said there'll be a lot more football the next day, kick passing and stuff. It'll be a stiffer test for the defence, but I feel like we'll be up for them. You know, so like, I mean, if Luke Connolly's saying we can't go toe-to-toe and Sean Powder says, you know, well, what I read into that is maybe we're going to have less help in defence because we want to there's no point in kicking it, there's nobody down there. So I suppose maybe Cork are just keeping everybody guessing how they're going to approach it.
Yeah, look, I know Sean maybe said it'll kick a bit more, but we haven't been kicking the whole pile, so you couldn't imagine us going all out kicking. No, we need to do it a bit more. I think if they brought someone like Mark Collins to centre forward, he'd help that. Do you know what I mean? I think a lot of Cork's main players are runners, let's say, and that's how their game probably will be based.
Yeah, how do you see them doing it, Johnny? Like, I mean, when you look at it, the way I look at it is you've got Clifford, who needs to be, you need to play a man in front of him, right? I would just need to play the man in front, some man in front of him, and let cover his runs. The problem with playing one sweeper against Kerry, their diagonal balls and their movement is so good. You nearly need to go as Tipperary and play two sweepers. You play two sweepers, you've no attacking game plan. Yeah. It's a difficult one, really. You know, one sweeper can get taken out by a good diagonal ball, and Kerry are experts at them.
Yeah, and you try to nullify Clifford, which is easier said than done too. You have Paul Ganey, you have Sean O'Shea, yeah. You have Paulie Clifford. You know, these are all decent forwards as well. It is going to be a big ask of Cork. From what we've seen to date, you know, Kerry would have got an awful lot of criticism last year of the way they approached the Cork game, and I can't see them falling into that trap. You know, they're going to go to play to their strengths and get as much ball up the field as quick as they can, and into the danger man. And while, as you say, Cork can plan to get a lot of bodies back, it causes them problems the other end, because you're right to point out, I think they're going to need goals, and they're going to need probably three or four of them, I feel, to get over Kerry. It's a big ask in the form that Kerry are in. But listen, you know, Cork have done it in the past. I just don't see them having the quality all over the field, really, to trouble this Kerry team.
Like, when you see Monaghan able to get four goals, Paul, you know, a lot of them coming from kick passes in, and, you know, some nice skillful play. And Cork have some forwards that, if they are brave and they say, right, you know, Foley can be got at, O'Bugley can be a bit of a headless chicken at times in the corner, you know, can he be got at? You know, Tom Sullivan's probably their stickiest defender, if they're brave about it, you know. But that's the thing, you know, if they're brave and they ship three goals early, we'll all be saying, oh geez, maybe they should have dropped back and mind the house. You know, it's not an easy one for Cork. How do you think they'll approach it?
Yeah, like, attacking wise, I think, like, if you saw the Limerick game, when Luke plays out the field, he nearly plays a bit too deep and he's looking for the outside of the boot. He should be close to goal. Like, I'd keep him up, Hurley up. And Sean Powder was right. Like, they have caused the Kerry fellas, you've mentioned, problems underage and a little bit of senior. So I'd be keeping Luke Connolly, Brian Hurley, Dan O'Donnell, who had a good game the last day, and Mark Collins as your four up. And then having your two wing forwards working up and down and maybe filtering back and letting the wing backs fill in those spaces either side of the D, you know, and keep an eye on the likes of Clifford and Sean O'Shea. One problem from Cork, I thought, throughout the league, they're fouling a bit too much. And like last year, it was a monsoon against Kerry and Clifford was uncharacteristically missing frees. He probably won't do it the next either with Sean O'Shea. He's on fire. So defensively, I think we'll have to stop. Cork will have to stop shipping easy frees. And I don't think they'll play a full-time sweeper. I think they'll filter bodies back and, you know, maybe wing forwards go to the half-back positions and the half-back then will drop in.
Right, okay. So the Powter marked Sean O'Shea the last day. Who'll pick up Clifford?
I think what they tried to do with Powter is they nearly get one of the midfielders to sit centre-back and they use him then to attack. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As a weapon there, because he's very good off the shoulder, obviously, and then he can run beyond the ball and take the ball over the top as well. I wouldn't be surprised to see Paddy Clifford out kind of buzzing around Powter either, do you know what I mean? And maybe trying to tackle him hard and annoy him and track him, because he seems to show the engine so far this year.
Yeah, so like, I mean, Paddy Clifford does play in the half forward line pretty much. Like, I mean, he's not in the corner, he's picked in there, but he's always buzzing around. And, you know, his deliveries are excellent. You know, and they rotate a little bit about who's going to be. Clifford will always be in there. We saw Sean O'Shea in there against Clare. Mm. You know, like, I mean, Geaney can drop in there. They're very fluid in the forward line. Other than Clifford, the others could pop up anywhere.
Yeah, and that's the strength in Kerry, isn't it? Like, I mean, you can't second guess them, because they're really good ball players. Absolutely brilliant finishers, but still can play, you know, can play any of those roles in that forward position. And I would expect Paddy Clifford to play that, as Paul said, to play that little bit deeper, look for ball to put inside, you know. And it'll be interesting to see whether O'Shea, you know, drifts closer to goals. I think he will at times, and then, you know, bring him out around the field, out around that half forward as well. So I think that's where they're strong. They have the ball players that are comfortable in any of those positions, and, you know, other than Clifford, who will remain in close to the goals, for obvious reasons. And, you know, regardless of how they get, you know, you can try and nullify Clifford, but you still have such quality around them. It's hard to see how Cork would have the manpower to stop them getting high scores.
It's definitely going to be difficult for Cork. There's no doubt about that, about how to approach it. What about the whole Killarney situation, Paul? Like, I mean, I was down there in 2015. Jeez, you should have won it that day. You haven't won down there since 1995. Kerry are outstanding down there. Like, they just, I don't know what it is about them, but like, you've probably gotten closer than most teams to beating them there.
Yeah, I was talking to Phil during the week, and he said we'd have five draws, you know, kind of, like, we'd have, I remember 2010, Gooch got a free last minute for him to draw it. 2009, Brian Sheehan got a free to draw it. 11 and 13, I'd say it was only a couple of points in it down there against us, at 1 or 2 points. Like, it's a bit galling that we didn't get over the line, because it would have been something we wanted to do, and we would have been confident at the time that we could take them down there.
Is that a big talking point for you, to beat them down there?
It would be a traditional thing, yeah, because I suppose in the late 80s and up to the mid 90s, Cork had it well over Kerry, you know.
Yeah.
And like, there's been good teams gone down there and come away with draws, like, so it's just down there, and even they just probably don't want to be the team to lose to Cork down there, you know. Like, who would have thought Sean Fitzgerald would have kicked the last minute point in 2015? Yeah. You know, we were leaving them shoot, like, do you know what I mean? Like, you're leaving them have a go from 35, 40 yards on the right hand side. But yeah, you're right. Look, there'll be a big crowd in Killarney regardless. I suppose around with the Connacht final going to Croke Park, there never would be a chance in Munster, because Cork people like they're out in Killarney, and Kerry don't travel to Dublin unless there's an All Ireland final. So look, there's been plenty of men Cork man has watched the Munster final in Killarney, in the pub in Killarney, rather than going up to the pitch. So it'll be still a busy weekend down there.
Right, you think maybe a lot of Cork fans will travel anyway? I was thinking that. Like, I mean, Cork and Kerry ain't coming up. You'll be safe enough with 2,000 in Croke Park for the Munster final. That was never a runner. Like, I mean, a lot of talk about the Kerry press and how many bodies they commit forward to it. Like, I mean, I would see that as a positive for Cork. Like, I mean, if they're pushing that many men up, surely there's a plan that can come up. You know, I know Keane O'Neill thinks a lot about the game, and surely they're going to come with some way that they can take 10 Kerry players out of the game and turn that positive for Kerry into weakness. It's only a positive because teams continue to try and find some sort of a short one while that press is there.
Yeah, well, you know, I suppose they're trying to put Cork and Martin in the goals, put them under pressure. But again, we've seen it in lots of occasions where, you know, you go along, but you'll get away with a couple of them as well, going over the press, and having someone in your half forward line to win that ball, or maybe, you know, creating pockets left and right that he can, he knows where that ball is going, and as you say, you nullify 10 Kerry men by putting it long. But again, how many of those are you going to get in a game? Albeit that, you know, in a tight game, all you need maybe is one, but I don't see it being a tight game. I think Kerry are going to try squeeze Cork every opportunity to get. And you know, with the quality I think Kerry have, I think they're going to put massive pressure on Cork. And like as I say, you will go over the top a couple of times, but I don't think it'll be enough to cause Kerry problems.
Yeah, you can't do it every time. I'm just trying to think of how Cork can trouble them. Like, I mean, you mentioned Mark Collins at centre forward. Like, is he looking at starting here, Paul, or is he going to be an impact sub? And if he's at centre forward, what would be wrong with sending your two midfielders out to either wing and driving a few up the middle? He's good in, you know, he's good in the air, plays midfield with his club. You know, that's a good kick out option when that press is on.
Yeah, last year, I know we went long in the kickouts and we played Killian O'Hanlon at centre forward, who's a 6'3" midfielder. Yeah. And more often than not, we won the breaks around the middle. No, it was a day for the breaks. It was middle of winter. But Mark is a good fielder. And look, I think Kerry will definitely press up. Like, since the Galway game, first in the league, they've just had that about them. They're really manic in their full press. So I think we'll have to go along and we'll have to have something. I know Keane O'Neill does work on breaks and he works on long kickouts a lot. But that's what we did last year. They just had an extra midfielder at centre forward and they could bang it long then and fight for it and touch it to the wing and fight for it on the wing. Because if they don't win it, if it's won on the wing by a Kerry man, at least they can put him dead with a foul or a sideline and they're no real danger. But I think they'll probably have to go longer and then just maybe commit to the breaks and maybe use their running power then to carry it up.
And that's one thing Keane O'Neill would have talked about in Kildare. I heard him mention it several times where, you know, he talks about this ring of steel, that knowing if Paul is going to contest the kick out, we have to have, you know, bodies around him and knowing where that kick out was going. And we've every, if it breaks behind, you know, we've covered because we've maybe half forwards coming in or if it breaks in front or half backs coming in. And he talked a lot about that, you know, used that ring of steel that he talked about. So I would imagine that there is a plan there for that, you know, while if they're going to press us high, we're going to put that ball long and we'll be ready for any break ball. And, you know, when you put it out there, it becomes 50-50. You know, as we've talked here, you don't need to be a keeper to be given a short kick out to a cornerback and next thing he's turned over. And with Clifford and these boys around, there's only one place going to end up.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, so it that would make sense to me. You've got two targets and two midfielders on either side and you've Collins up the middle. And the goalie obviously has got a way of telling the players out the field which one is coming. So the Cork lads are heading to that breaking ball a little bit faster than the Kerry boys. Like, I don't see a short kick out unless Kerry, you know, it's a good point from play where the game is so disorganised where Cork should even be entertaining a short one, Paul.
Yeah, like just on Johnny's point, like with Keane O'Neill, nearly everyone bar the two inside forwards has some sort of a role on a long kick out and they kind of know where it's going to go.
Right.
You're right, I don't even give it short. If it's down and out within the 4 or 5 seconds, you know what I mean? And they've caught Kerry off guard. If Kerry are set, geez, there's nearly no point in going short too often. So I think that would be their best bet. Like, as I said, they put a lot of work into their long kickouts as well as their short ones. And like, ultimately, if you can win it further out the field, it gives your chance of scoring a bit higher and that platform a bit further up the field.
And Paul, when you would move the midfielders either side, would you'd be planning obviously to keep it away from Moran, who's a very good fetcher, right? Okay, I don't think Dermot O'Connor is as good in the air, so you'd probably be targeting maybe that.
Yeah, like Maguire likes to go on to Moran a good bit, you know, he likes to kind of try outwork him, and he's a very good spoiler, Maguire, you know what I mean? He'd see Moran as the primary ball winner for Kerry and would like to target him there and feel he could run around him a bit. So yeah, you're probably looking at someone who's going to be mobile and maybe can compete very well in the air then on O'Connor on the other side.
Yeah, go on, Johnny.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think, like, and for no, you know, David Moran has a lot of mileage on the legs. You know, Sunday's to be a really hot day. You know, you're going to spoil, he's really strong in the air, maybe spoil him in the air and then put him on the back foot. I think that's an area maybe Cork could exploit Kerry a little bit. But then you have O'Connor, you have Spillane, you have Jack Barry, all, you know, could come in there if if Kerry are having a bit of trouble. But certainly I would be trying to put David Moore, you know, have him running back and worrying about me getting up the field to attack him, because you know, I say he's a lot of mileage on the legs, and with the heat and everything on Sunday, it just might put them under a little bit of pressure.
Well, that's it. And then you obviously, from a Cork point of view, you have Tommy Walsh and Killian Spillane coming on, and they come on at the same time, Paul, to offer you a whole new threat. You know, like, I mean, is this a situation where Cork are going to have to see those subs with, like, the first time I saw this was when Kevin McManaman used to come on in Croke Park, and Eamon Fitzmaurice, the minute McManaman came on, he brought on someone fresh to mark, you know what I mean, to mark him. Now, I know Tommy Walsh isn't going to run at you like Kevin McManaman, but, you know, is that something that Kerry or Cork could have thought about, like, who's going to mark Tommy Walsh? Right, he's not going to be starting, but if Tommy Walsh comes on, you know, we might think of doing something like that.
Yeah, I think, well, back in the day when Duke bring Donaghy on for Kerry, Conor Cooney bring on Derek Kavanagh straight away, full back, and that was kind of a matchup. I'd say, like, I think they might have the personnel that would be happy enough inside, maybe Sean Meehan and Flive and the young fella Dan O'Mahony, he's a good bit of stuff, like, so they might feel that they have the capability there. Spillane caused us wreck last year, you know, while the rest were struggling, he came on and he kicked 4 points, you know what I mean? If he was starting, he was on fire.
Yeah.
So it's they'll probably have to have something up their sleeve there, because caused us so much trouble last year, you know. He's doing enough to start, but there's only seven going into six, do you know what I mean? So from a Cork point of view, I think I'd be a little bit more worried about Spillane coming on there now as opposed to Tommy Walsh.
The thing about Tommy Walsh and Spillane, especially Tommy Walsh, is that when Kerry are winning, they can give lovely control ball into him, and you know, it looks good. When Kerry are losing, they start getting desperate, and you know, now it's not the same ball. You know, if Cork can just stay in the game and stay in a situation where Kerry can't give, you know, oh, here's our plan B while we're winning, let's give a lovely one. You know, it's a different ball game altogether when you bring on a big man when you're losing. It's now his desperation stakes.
Yeah, and you're viewing the whole situation. You're the pressure's on that ball that you have maybe a little bit extra time because you're on the attack, as opposed to being on the back foot. You know, they like Tommy Walsh will want, ideally, them diagonal balls in where he can attack them, not sort of landing down where the fullback and just get a break on them, and that's where he's really strong. But you know yourself when things are going against you, you know, those diagonal balls are not just as the way you want them. You know, the defense's back is up, and they don't fall right for you when they're under pressure. So you can have all the plans you want, and when things are going well, they can come off as being brilliant. You try them next day and you just don't work. But again, when Tommy Walsh comes on, he just adds a different dimension to them, just offers them something different. And particularly when you have, as I say, when you have the likes of Clifford buzzing around them, you have, you know, Darren Minehan comes on, does well. So there's just so much quality there. You know, I think it's and in fairness to Peter Keane, when you have that quality, you know, like there's a chance that Tommy Walsh won't be needed or won't come on, you know, and it gives them a different option. So you can plan for all these things. I'm sure Ronan McCarthy will and his management team will look at all these things. But there's just so many different options for Kerry. It makes it very difficult for them.
I know, it definitely does. Rory Dean has go on, Paul.
Sorry, I think from Peter Keane has probably moved Tommy closer to goal, whereas last year he was over on midfield and he's probably far more dangerous inside there than he is around the middle, you know. I think that, and as Johnny said, he gives that other dimension. So, like, I suppose when we were playing him last year, you were nearly happy enough to see him out around the middle and obviously around their full back line towards the end of the game. But, like, he mightn't get a run at the weekend, but he's probably that thing, something a little bit different from.
Rory Dean is another one that has the beatings of Paul Murphy, you know, when he comes up against him, definitely in the air. He'd be a kick-out option as well. Is there anybody, I know Mark Keane came on last year, Paul, and it was actually gas. He obviously got the goal, but geez, he was criminally underused. It was a dirty day. But when you see Kerry against Dublin in Thurles, and you saw how much trouble they got from the bloody, you know, even I remember Scully just gave the random one in, and Paul Murphy got caught under it, and Con Callaghan got the easiest goal he'll ever score. Is there anyone that we might see a little surprise to, you know, stick in there and maybe for two or three route ones, you know, during a half?
Yeah, I don't know about route one anyway. They did put Rory Dean kind of started him full forward in 2018, and we got two early goals in
was
the park.
He, oh, was he full no, we forward were, at
the... He was wearing a half forward number, and he started him. So he actually got two goals, I'd say, in the first 10 or 15 minutes. And he actually got a black card, and he was a big loss, and we were beat well in the end. So, like, he does drift in there. I know they do tell him to drift in there, but it's just trying to get the service quickly and accurately in is probably a bit of the issue. Do you know what I mean? He's probably the only guy really that you could put in there. Mark Collins too has played closer to goal the last couple of years. He would have played against Leash there 2 years ago and done very well, you know. And he can field, but I think he's probably needed a little bit more on the 40.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. Who are we going for here? I'm going to go for Kerry.
We're after talking Kerry up that much.
Usually when it's Kerry and Dublin, you're talking about how you're going to be able to manage them, really. And that's kind of the level they're kind of at now. Quickly, Johnny, Kerry or Cork?
I'm going with Kerry. I just think they've too much quality.
Paul?
I'll back up Sean Potter and believe we can beat him.
We've done it at every age level, and there's no reason why we can't do it this weekend. That'll be the speech in the dressing room. That'd get me going. Yeah, I like those kind. We've no fear of these lads.
Yeah. Who are they?
Okay, the other big one obviously is Mayo Galway, lads. For me, Johnny, Croke Park is a big advantage to Mayo. We know Galway are going to drop men back behind the ball. That's their style now. Whether we, you know, that's not what it started out with. That's what it is now. You have O'Lee, he'll come back as a sweeper. They'll get plenty of men behind the ball. The problem is, in the heat, in Croke Park, that's not a great game plan. And, you know, intensity-wise, it's all based around intensity and running and... A hot day in Croke Park with all that wide open space against a team like Mayo who love Croke Park.
Yeah, and Mayo are, you know, they're happy to go to Croke Park. Like we talked about bringing Cork or Kerry up, they won't travel. Mayo will travel. Like there was 18,000 for tickets, I'd say.
Yeah, it's a 15 or 18.
I think it was 18 last weekend, right. Anyway.
Oh, it's 18. The Ulster's 15 for some reason, anyway.
Yeah, well, I think it's 18, but like, you know, you'd wonder. Mayo fill 18, no problem, and they love coming to Croke Park. You certainly would think that it would suit them. It's sort of home away from home, but I still give Galway a chance. You know, if they can, they have some exciting forward.
Shane Walsh now. There's a good chance he'll be out the way he came off with the hamstring.
It looks, unless it was just because, but when he came off, he looked...
Yeah, was the thing that they played it down afterwards, but the speed he was running when he pulled up with that.
He's an explosive player. You very seldom see him, you know, at half. He just, when he gets the ball, he's just gone. As you point out there, like, if you're going at that pace, the hamstring is not saying, listen, slow down, I'm getting tired here. It just normally goes.
Yeah.
And that would be a massive blow. And if it was, the way he did come off, it looks like he wouldn't have time to recover. So, but I still think, you know, Paul Conway around the middle, you know,
he's been playing very well.
Yeah, he's playing really well at the moment. And Matthew Tierney, you know, part of him, he took his goal very well in the last. So, I still give them a chance. I think Mayo will be too strong for them. I would have been worried for Mayo. I'm a little bit. Killian O'Connor will be a massive loss and will be a massive loss. It could be the difference as they stay, you know, if they stay in this championship. But certainly, and I know you can't read too much into the Leitrim game. Would put 5-20 past there.
Yeah.
A very poor Leitrim team. And sometimes that can be good for confidence, but it can lead you up a path that maybe you think you're better than you are. But I think Mayo are a bit long in the tooth to get fall into that sort of stuff. So, and then, you know, you've going into the last game, they had the issue with COVID and stuff. You think, you know, that's cleared up now, and they've. McLaughlin to come back,
Dermot O'Connor to come back. I'm not sure about him.
Lee Keegan.
Yeah.
So you know, you think that the aces are with Mayo going into this one?
Just tactically, Paul. Like, I mean, are Mayo the worst team to be trying to play this defensive system Galway have? Because, like, I mean, can you drop back off Owen McLaughlin, Oisín Mullen, Lee Keegan? Like, these are players now that have got a head of steam coming at you like a train. You know what I mean? Is it a dangerous game plan to play, especially against Mayo?
Yeah, I think it is. I think Aaron Kiernan was speaking during the week on the show about Armagh dropping off and leaving Manning come up to their 45 untouched and with no contact and leaving those boys go fresh. Like, and they can pick off scores. Like Paddy Durkin is like a forward. Do you know what I mean? I think it's a dangerous game plan, and it's hard to do in Croke Park for a lot of it. You know, and you're probably leaving a little bit kind of a bit of a burden on the likes of Shane Walsh if he's fit, Damien Comer if he's how fit he is after just coming back up front. Do you know what I mean? And Matthew Tierney, you know, to do the bulk of the scoring. Look, Mayo's, like, in fairness, their athleticism, they've been rootless throughout the whole Division 2 and their two championship games. Like, they've done everything that's been asked of them. If they get the boys back from the COVID, and Lee Keegan, I think, was out with his shoulder, I think God will make a game of it, but it'll be hard to look past Mayo with these boys. And it'll be interesting to see how they do, actually. It's almost like a new team, in fairness to James Horne. It's like when he started with the first team in 2009, 2010, he's molded them into a really kind of massively conditioned team, well-organised, well-coached, you know, play with huge energy, really get to the pitch of championship. It's a big test for him in Croke Park, especially with Killian O'Connor, as Johnny said. So, I think Galway will probably have to get the pressure on in the middle third of the field, and the likes of Peter Cook and Paul Conroy will have to have a massive game in the middle of the field for him.
That's the thing. And it depends where, I suppose, if Dermot O'Connor comes back, he'd play back in midfield. He was on the panel, apparently, against Leitrim, but never came on. He's had 2 weeks since then. If he played in midfield with Ruan, you're putting Aidan O'Shea probably at centre forward, Kevin McLaughlin, and that really beefs up the half forward line, which I thought looked a bit wishy-washy maybe the last day. But, you know, Sean Kelly followed Aidan O'Shea in last year's kind of final everywhere. Now, Sean Kelly is their best man marker. So then you're left with Liam Silk, who's more of a footballer than a man marker, and Mulcairn having to mark Tommy Conroy and Ryan O'Donoghue. They won't like that.
No, they won't. And I've been, you know, I've watched Ryan O'Donoghue at underage. I've been really impressed with him. I think he's just grown every game. And, you know, he seems to be given the mantle now of taking frees as well. He seems to be decent enough at them. And he's a top of the ground player. He's buzzing the whole time. And you know, in fairness to James Horne, he's introduced these players. Like, he's lost a few household names, but the ship seems to be able to sail on without them. You know, we would look at you know, losing the likes of Keith Higgins and you know, these guys that have just come to the end of their end of their career and stuff. But you know, the quality of player he's bringing in, I certainly think, you know, and Aidan O'Shea will get a bit of criticism from time to time, but he's still a big, big plus for that. You know, you can play him. He's versatile, because you can play him at 11. He'll see him at times drifting into the full forward line, which he, again, gives them a different dimension.
And when this is probably not the game for him. The way Galway are playing, maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. But again, you know, at times he might just drift in there. And when you've the quality of kick passers like Stephen Cohn, you know, Kevin McLaughlin, it just gives them a different outlet. You know, maybe for 10 or 15 minutes, then get him back out around the half forward line where he's really good at winning primary possession. It just leaves them very strong in that sense, in the spine of their team. Yeah, I think they're going to be difficult to beat.
There will be. And I suppose the Shane Walsh is such an important one as well, Paul. You mentioned Paddy Durkin. He'll pick up Shane Walsh even if he's at full forward. He did last year. If Shane Walsh isn't there, now Durkin will probably be out wing forward and causing all sorts of problems. So it's almost a double whammy if Shane Walsh, at least he takes Paddy Durkin out of the game. Now, not the way Galway would be thinking he can take Paddy Durkin, but, you know, it's a double blow if Shane Walsh. What's your take on that, the way he went down with the hamstring and a 3 week lead in? Like, the reality is he wouldn't have done anything for 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, obviously seen him up close, and you're right, like, he doesn't do anything half measures. He's so fast, and he has this kind of stop start jink that he does kind of midway through his sprint. I kind of read that saying he might be fit, but even if he's fit to tog, he definitely won't be near 100% to take Villas on. Like, and Paddy Durkin generally picks him up. If Shane Wallace gets maybe a couple from play, three or four frees, Paddy Durkin will probably kick two on the other end. Do you know what I mean? So I don't think Mayo would be too worried. I'd say I wouldn't be surprised to see him tagged from kind of the sound coming out of Barrett Joyce and Galway, but he probably won't be the same animal. And it's a pity, because he's a fella, we were speaking about Croke Park earlier, he's a fella made for it, you know.
Yeah, he's made for Croke Park. It's a difficult one. How do you're leaning towards Mayo, Johnny?
Yeah, I am. I wouldn't be as certain as I would be a Kerry in Munster, but I am. I think they won't have it all their own way. I expect Galway to land a good few punches, but
yeah. Mayo have learned nothing about themselves, really.
No, and that's
probably a worry.
Yeah, it is a worry, but again, you think with the experience they have, but on the field and in James Horn, you know, they've had to deal with this in the past.
Yeah.
You know, in mismatch in Connacht, as the, you know, would be up and down, but certainly they'll be going in with a little bit of air of, you know, as you said, not knowing exactly where they are. But again, they'll be delighted to go to Croke Park and to play in Galway. I think I'd be happy enough with where they're at.
Yeah, it's the second year. If it was last year, you'd say in his first year back or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. No,
or his second year
Will they start Kevin McLaughlin? You'd imagine they will Lee Keegan come back into it? Will he, you know, like Lee Keegan is probably not the player for Mayo that he was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where, you know, he'd take out a player, but he could also, we've seen him in the past, you know, bomb up the field and stick the ball on the roof of the net. You know, I don't think he's that sort of a player, just at the, you know, probably a lot of miles on the legs as well, but he's still a massive plus for them. So yeah, depending on what way he lines out and the man marking jobs he gives to different lads. But I think over the 75 minutes, I think they just have too much for Galway.
Yeah, I went for Galway to win Connacht, but that was before the match was moved to Croke Park, before Shane Walsh, you know, did his hamstring. It was after Killian O'Connor did his was out for the season. I've changed around now and I'm leaning more towards Mayo, probably for those reasons. What do you think about it, Paul?
Yeah, look, Galway, they've beaten Roscommon twice in 20 this year. Like, they're the only team they've beaten, you know, and I know they done very well up in Clonus against Monaghan, but I think Mayo will have it over. Now, Mayo have questions. So, as you said, they've stepped walk into Croke Park before, breezing through Connacht and blowing teams away in Croke Park. I suppose the last game they played was the All-Ireland final. They'll probably see it as ideal preparation for their next game against Dublin, the All-Ireland semi. So, look, I think against the higher level of the defence and defensive system, maybe without Killian O'Connor, where's all their bulk of scoring going to come from? Maybe you could ask that question about them, but I think they've enough about them to win this weekend.
Yeah, okay, so we're all going for Mayo there. Everybody's green, and with two of us are going for Kerry, and Paul has to be seen in Nemo again, so he went for Cork. Right, we'll leave it there, lads. We'll be back on Monday and we'll review the two provincial finals. We'll talk to you all then. Good luck.
But this little dink ball, the only one in a crowded area where it's a fist pass, the weight is taken over, hits the ground and it bounces into a fella's chest.
Why do you not do many interviews?
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've been asked to do a whole pile.
Really?
Yeah. Have you ever rang me?
And they're roaring at me, "I Caffrey, you Free State bastard." And next thing I hear, "You have no fucking jurisdiction up here."
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.